Amen. Well, that's an encouraging song, isn't it? He is always with us. In fact, you know, during these days, one of the most challenging things to do is be able to navigate through life wisely. I mean, there's so many pressures, so many odd things that go on ordinarily, but even in these days, it seems like from the virus to tensions between races and trying to work out the plan of God and all of that. Let me tell you the secret. The secret is to always remember that God is our God. He is our leader. He's the one who loves us all. You remember the song? You think about some of the tensions going on. I go back to this all the time. The song we used to sing in church, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious. And we should say we are precious in His sight. Listen, we need to pray for God to work in us. And today is Father's Day. And man, if there's ever a day in our world that we need to understand what a biblical family looks like and how to be parents in this world, it's today. And we've got to pray for wisdom. So I want to pray for us, and then we'll dive into God's Word today. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for the day. Thank You for the opportunity to seek Your face and to turn to You for help. Thank You that Your Word tells us that You are an ever-present help in times of trouble. And God, I pray today that You would give us wisdom. I pray today that You would give us insight through Your Word, how to live in ordinary days and difficult days. And I pray for every family that's here in the room and those that are watching online. I pray that You would encourage their hearts through Your presence and through Your Word, that You would teach us and fashion us into the image of Jesus, so that in every way, at all times, in all things, we would look and sound just like Jesus Christ. So Lord, have Your way in our hearts today, and be honored as we listen and as we follow You. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hey, if you want a place to go in your Bibles, you can go to Ephesians and stop there, if you will, in chapter 6. And we're going to get there in just a minute. But I want to take a little bit of time just to kind of talk about the day. This is a unique day. I love this day, obviously, because it's Father's Day. Every man in the room ought to say amen. Amen. It's Father's Day. It's man's day. And so we thank the Lord for that. And it is so good to be a dad and a papa. I love it. I love every minute of it. I'm so grateful for the honor and the privilege that God's entrusted to me. But when you think about that, being a dad and being a granddad is playing the role of a parent. I think we far too underestimated the importance of a role of a parent in today's society. Now, honestly, no one ever said that parenting would be easy. But everyone, I think, would agree, though it's difficult and no one's a perfect parent, it may still be the most important job on the planet. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. I want to talk specifically to dads and moms. You know, I understand when we start talking about celebrating days like this, sometimes it's very difficult for some people. Your earthly dad may have been absent in your life while you were growing up. You may have found yourself in a very difficult position. Maybe you're someone who stepped into that role for someone else, and you're loving them and leading them as a dad would, and it's been very difficult for them. And I know those kind of circumstances and situations can impact the way we view fatherhood as a whole, but I would challenge you that what we need to do is remember that God is our Father, and He loves us through it all, and we can put our trust and hope in Him in every situation and rely on Him to give us guidance and wisdom so that He's honored in us. And I think I would just say to you this, no matter what situation you find yourself in today, no matter what you may have suffered in the past, know this, that God is still our hope and our help in every test and circumstance of life, even when it comes to the role of parenting. So let's just dive into God's Word today. Let's talk a little bit about this whole idea of parenting. I think there's some very practical things that we can learn from God's Word that are very helpful for us each and every day as we seek to parent in this world. Let me just read a couple of scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. In fact, these are going to repeat each other a little bit, but you stay in Ephesians chapter 6. Deuteronomy 5 says this, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." My dad loved that passage. If you knew my dad was a in physical stature, small guy. He started out at 5'8", and he used to tell me the older he got, the shorter he got. He was a tiny guy, but he had a big impact in my life. I remember one day in church, I love telling this story. I was sitting down with all the students. We sat in the front. And we were passing notes during the message. And my mom and dad were sitting in the back. Right in the middle of the message, when we were passing notes, I noticed that there was some movement to my left. I looked up and my dad was, excuse me. He was sliding down in the middle of all the students and sat beside me in church, put his arm around me. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm 15 years old. And it wasn't my note. I was just already making excuses. And he leaned over and he said, how old are you? What kind of question is that? I look back at him, 15? Do you want to be 16? He loved this passage. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. That's repeated in Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, listen to this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So when you think about that, that last statement in verse 4 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, I think we should view the role of a parent as a stewardship relationship to God. So we are accountable to God and we are responsible to our children and for our children. So when you start thinking about that, what is a parent really in this life, and how we should wake up every day? What kind of perspective should we have? This is a disciple-making moment that happens every day in your life. You're entrusted with children. They still belong to God, and He has given you the responsibility and opportunity in good times and bad to point them to Jesus and to show them Jesus. This is a life-on-life, daily living responsibility for followers of Christ. Now, you think about this, how critically important that is in a post-Christian world. Where else are your children going to see what it means to be a Christian? Where else are they going to see what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus? They may not see it on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. They may not see it on the news, but they need to see it at home. It has the greatest impact in our lives, and we cannot underestimate it. And so here's what I want to talk about today. And there are a lot of things that we could talk about when it comes to parenting. But I just want to talk about one subject that I think is very helpful for us. It may seem minute to you, but I think it's very important. And it's just a subject of consistency. Consistency. Consistency is a gift that we can give to our children. There's nothing like, and I would make this point, argue this point all day long, there's nothing like knowing what to expect. There's nothing like consistency. Day in, day out, through the daily grind, ordinary activities of life, just being a consistent follower of Jesus as you parent your children. So just think about some of the things that are added when we're consistent. Consistency in what you teach and how you live carries tremendous weight in shaping the life and heart of your children. I'll tell you this real quick story. When Micah was growing, we had one child, Micah, and now he's 32. He's got two boys of his own. But when he had his teenage years, like every teenager, he just wanted to push every single boundary. See if you're really serious. Do you really mean what you say? All of us have an independent spirit, particularly guys, young guys, and we just don't know how to channel it, and so we're just pushing back on every... And so there were some days that were just really testing days. There were some days that I was the dumbest man God ever made. And Micah made it clear that I would know that in the midst of our conversations. And then one day, he's just had his first son. We're running a half marathon. And we're about halfway through the marathon. He says, Dad, just tell you, I don't know what's happening in this world. I don't know what's happening to kids these days. I'm like, what? What in the world are you talking about? He said, I'm telling you what, I'm going to teach my child this way. We're going to do it this way. And he was saying all the things that I had said the whole time he was growing up. And I thought, what has happened to my son? I mean, it's amazing how things changed. There weren't any aha moments. What really had changed him and had an impact in his life was just consistency. Think about this. Consistency over time reveals what we truly believe and who we truly love. really does. In good times and in bad, in tough times and difficult times, when everything is easy, when you love the same and live the same, it makes an impact in the heart of your children. Lets them know what God looks like. Third thing, consistency produces a sense of security which provides comfort and stability, which are the key ingredients for healthy growth. I mean, think about how, what a calming effect it is when you come home, you know what you're going to get from your parents. Sometimes you don't want to get what you know you're going to get from your parents when you're growing up. But it's good to know that they're the same people day in and day out, and you can depend on it. You can count on it. One thing I love about my father, and I've tried to walk in his footsteps. It didn't matter what I did, how I lived. I knew exactly how I was going to be treated by my dad when I got home. His love was never in doubt. And then, ultimately, consistency creates a repetitious environment where lifelong learning flourishes. I don't know if y'all like me, but man, sometimes it just takes time for things to sink in. And the same thing with our kids. You may be tired of saying the same things to them over and over again, having to repeat yourself or correct them over and over again, but that's what we do. That's what we're made for. You think about this. When kids are growing up, they do not have 20/20 vision. They're nearsighted. All they can see is the immediate. This is going to make me look bad with my friends. This is what I really want to do. Why can't I do this? Everybody else is doing it. That, and probably every parent in the room said, you know, if your best friend was going to jump off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? Because we're trying to help them see this is dangerous. This is hurtful. This is painful. This is not what you need to do. The truth is, as believers, as parents, we are to be their eyes. And that means sometimes we've got to be firm. And so when we're firm, and we're living a consistent life, it creates repetitious moments where lifelong learning just flourishes. So, you think about this. You say, well, where in the Bible does it talk about consistency? Where is that word? Well, I want to use a little different. I want to think about it a little bit different. Over and over again, I think the Bible talks to us about consistency in a lot of areas of life. It uses the term always to do that. For example, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only is in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Remember what he said? As you have always obeyed, do so now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. Remember, Paul is in prison when he's writing this. He's captive. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. So, we are always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. And you say, well, what encouragement is that? For we walk by faith, not by sight. He's telling us, always be of good courage because of the goodness of God in your life. And then even thinking about the end times, in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, it says, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Over and over again, the Scripture talks about this whole idea of being consistent. Consistent in our response, in our life, and how we live so that God is honored and glorified in us. And so I'd say when you start thinking about parenting, that is also true. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, listen to this. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, when you bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. He's just talking about in every circumstance of life, these words that are on your heart, the word of God, you are to make known, you are to teach them to your children. Now, I'll just give you one little thought here. We've made a big deal today because we're all so busy of saying, I may not have a quantity of time with my kids, but I have quality time. Now, I understand that there are some circumstances and situations in life that it makes it difficult for you to spend time with your kids. There are some single parents that are working three jobs just to make sure that they can pay the bills and keep a roof over their kids' heads. That's a demanding and difficult and challenging task. I understand that. But let's not buy into the lie that just because we have a few moments and we spend them on these on big trips, that we've invested ourselves in the lives of our kids. Listen, what is most helpful and most powerful is that at every moment, whether it's just walking around in the backyard, whether it's teaching them how to ride a bike, whether it's roasting marshmallows on a fire, whether it's waking them up in the morning and feeding them breakfast, every single one of those moments is a moment that God entrusts to you to teach your children what it means to know Jesus and to live as a follower. So, what part of our lives as parents needs consistency? Let me just give you seven things. Very practical message today. Just want you to think about these seven things. The first thing, your walk with God. As a follower of Jesus, this is absolutely essential for us, isn't it? Now, I would tell you that if we were to take a poll today and spend a little time investigating every single person's life in the room, that all of us would say we walk with God, and all of us would say we pray. No one would say that I am walking with God as I should. I could do better. I could spend more time. I could be more consistent. Somehow through the tests and circumstances of life and the way busyness gets the best of us, we skip our time with God. And one day turns to two to three, and three to a month. And then after a while, it's just sparse conversations with God. And we wonder why we don't look and sound like Jesus when we're parenting. Listen, there's nothing more important in your life. It's like breathing for your body than spending time with God. I don't do it as much as I should. I spend time every day with the Lord, but I really probably need to spend twice as much time as I do so that my heart is right in every test and circumstance of life. Because far be it from us as servants of Christ in any situation to just speak what we feel and not what God has revealed to us in His Word. The only way we're going to know that is we spend time with Him. And think about this. One of the greatest joys of our life as parents is to pray for our children. You know, my mom passed away at age 62. It was if you weren't here, it was a very odd time in my life because she went in for minor surgery, was supposed to go home the next day. And by the next day, she went home, but she went home to be with Jesus. The first thought that went through my mind when my mom died was this thought. She's prayed for me every day of my life, but she won't be here to pray for me tomorrow. That's a good thought, not a sad one. She's prayed for me every day of my life. I can remember one day I was having a conversation with her, and she said, oh, that's an answer to prayer. And I said, ha, gotcha, I didn't pray about that. She said, I've been praying about that. That's a good word, isn't it? Pray for your child's salvation. Pray for the adults in your child's life to interact with them every day. That God would guard their heart from sin and Satan and temptation and use them to display God's love to them. Pray for wisdom, all the godly wisdom that we need to possess to parent rightly and to honor the Lord. Think about this. I think one thing we can pray for ourselves, and it's important for us to do, is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is what I noticed about my own life. When I cease to be thankful, it's a good sign that I haven't spent enough time with the Lord. When I'm not living from a position of thankfulness in whatever circumstance I'm dealing with, it's a good sign. It's not anybody else's fault. I've just not spent enough time with the Lord being rooted and built up in Him and encouraged by His presence so that I am abounding in thanksgiving. Second thing, write this down. Your most valued relationships need consistency. If you're presently married and you've been married a while and you're parenting children, one of the things that your children ought to see is the most treasured and prized relationship you have on the planet is the relationship you have with your wife or the relationship you have with your husband. That is first and primary. Listen, I know when you have kids, God gives you a love for them like no other love you've ever felt in your life. It's crazy, isn't it? When a child steps in to your life, it's amazing the overabundance of love that you have for them. But the number one priority in your life, men and women, is your relationship to your spouse. And we need to make sure that we're communicating that. And then our relationship to our kids is the next one. And we need to make sure that our decisions, our investments, our time, everything we do makes that absolutely clear. In fact, if you want to go back and read this, Ephesians chapter 5 speaks clearly to it. But it reminds us of the priority of the relationship between the husband and the wife. And we need to make that a priority in our own hearts as well. Number three, your love. Your love needs to be consistent. Love in word and in deed, in good times and in bad. And it demonstrates such confidence and certainty in the heart of your child. It provides a security that will never, ever be in doubt. Listen, my dad, as little as he was a strict disciplinarian. Very strict. And somebody asked me, did you ever get spankings? And I know it's not popular with a lot of people, but I needed them. Okay? You can put me in a corner, put me in timeout. Thank you very much. I'll take a nap. That's how I thought about it. The only thing that would really get my attention is if my dad spanked me. The worst spanking I ever got was when my mom tried to spank me and I laughed. She went in her room and cried until my dad got home. And when my dad got home, all the laughing was gone, okay? Now, you may not like that, may not agree, but that's okay. I just tell you this. Never once did my dad discipline me, and as a child, I thought he doesn't love me. He made it absolutely clear in the most tense times in our relationship, in the days when we lived on Easy Street, that the one thing that would always be certain for me and him is that he loved me. That's powerful. Fourth thing, your instruction and discipline. Your instruction and discipline, they go hand in hand. I know they can be wearisome because of the need for repetition. I mean, maybe you have the smartest kids on the planet, I don't know. But most kids have to learn the same lesson over and over again. And you have to be the one to teach them. I mean, it's just a reality, it's a part of it. But it's so important, especially when it's carried out under the authority of God's word, that's when it produces real fruit. Love like Jesus loves. Show them compassion. Give them instruction. Give them discipline. All of us need it. It's helpful for us. It makes an impact in our life. Number five, your attention and your involvement. I mentioned this just a moment ago, but I just want to say it again. The seasons of life will change. When our son was little, I got to spend a ton of time with him. I loved it, most of it. There were some days that were tough. I remember in the mornings when he was in elementary school, middle school, up until the day he was driving to school, every day we read the proverb of the day, every single day, out loud on the way to school. He would be the reader, I would be the driver. And so, he had to learn the Proverbs of the day. I remember we were in ninth grade, and we're on our way to school. I don't remember what day it was. But he said, hey, Dad, do we have to read this again? I've read this for 7 years in a row every day. On like the seventh day of the month, we've read this proverb. I said, can you quote it? And he said, no, well, then we're going to read it, you know. But those were precious times because so many conversations were born out of those times together. And so our attention, our involvement, is critical. Even at this point, when my son's 32, I don't get to spend as much time with him. He's got a job, he's got two kids. But I treasure the moments we do get to spend together and the opportunities that we get to exchange and share conversations. And I pray and hope that in every conversation, every dialogue, every moment, that I'm still pointing his heart back to Jesus. He is our hope. And he is our help. Number six, patience. Your patience. How many of you have an overabundance of patience? You just say, man, I am really gifted in the area of patience. That's what I thought. Nobody in the room, probably nobody online could say, man, when people say to me, this is the most patient person on the planet. We've got to be patient with one another. And I think that's important. In fact, I was listening to the Bible as I was running, and in Colossians chapter 3, it came to this passage, and this is what it said. It said, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I love this. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's the middle of all of that. You know what he says? Be patient. And then here's the last thing. Your faithfulness to the Lord. Your faithfulness to the Lord. Listen, there are no perfect parents. It's always interesting to me sometimes when we start bragging. And by the way, listen, let me tell you, I made plenty of mistakes in my time. There were plenty of times in Micah's upbringing that I had to go into his room and say, hey, I'm sorry. That was not a good decision. I should not have said it that way. Those are the times when the flesh led and Christ was nowhere to be found. Those times happen in each of us. We just need to be honest about them. We need to make sure that we're praying and seeking the heart of God so that those times are fewer and fewer in our life, in our parenting. But the truth is this, our faithfulness to the Lord is paramount in our role as a parent. Nothing to replace that. Your walk with God is essential. It's where we started. It's where we end. Your children ought to know that you're depending upon the Lord, that you're seeking God's wisdom in His Word, that you're praying for them, that you're praying for your family, that you're seeking His face, that you're following His lead. Through every season and storm of life, they should know that your greatest desire is for them to know Jesus and know how to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, we can teach our kids how to do all kinds of sporting activities. They can be great athletes, and we can fail. They can be the smartest kids in their classroom and have the greatest education, and we can still fail. But they can have neither of those things. But if they've come to trust and follow Jesus, then we have succeeded. No matter what their athletic skill is or their academic achievements are, Jesus is everything. I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor. I'm saying that because it's all that matters. At the end of the day and at the end of their life, it's all that matters. You know, I was reading this passage and it really made me think about my role as a dad, my role as a grandfather. And it's my prayer for every father in the room, every parent in the room. Listen to what Paul writes. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's giving them a word of encouragement, and he's testifying about his own role with them. And this is what he said. For you know, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. That's good, isn't it? He used a father with his children to be an example of how he loved and cared for the Christians in Thessalonica. Listen, there are a lot of times I tell stories, and I use my dad. They're not bad examples. They're good ones. They're godly ones, because that was his heart's desire. I pray they'll be able to share those same things about us. Now, know this. You're not going to leave here and you think, I'm going to take this list of seven things, I'm going to post it on the wall, and I'm going to do this every day. That is a great goal. We need to make it our aim. But there are going to be days when we fail. Those are the days when we need to seek the forgiveness of God and the forgiveness of our own family. Ask for God to display His grace and to give us the courage to share our failure and the faithfulness to live a life that knows the difference. But every day, God has given us the opportunity to love our families. And I'm going to say this to you as well. There are a lot of kids today that don't have a present father in this world. And men, I just tell you, there's a shortage of godly examples all over the planet. And a lot of them are probably living on your street, living in your neighborhood. They may be kids that you know. Instead of ignoring those kids, thinking you have no responsibility, you don't have to adopt them legally. You can just take the opportunity to be a godly influence. I think about my life. I think about how blessed I have been to have a dad that knew Jesus and made him known. I wonder where I'd be if I didn't have that. So listen, we need to take every opportunity to influence the next generation with the goodness of God's love, like a father with his children, exhorting them, encouraging them to know the Lord. Now, you may be here today, and you may be a dad, you may be one of the men in the room. Listen, all the things I've talked about, if you're thinking about them, you can't do them on your own. Knowing Jesus is where you start following Jesus. And I can tell you this, you may look back at your life and think, man, I've got a lot of things in my past that I'm ashamed of. There are a lot of things in my past that I have displayed to my children that aren't right and good, and God can never forgive me. You're wrong about that. God will forgive you, and he will make you his own. Not because you're worthy, but because he is good. He's full of grace and love. And so I just want to take a minute right now, if you're here today and you're a man, maybe a lady here today trying to be mom and dad to a family. But really what you need, there's a void inside your life and you're struggling with it, and what you need more than anything is simply to know Jesus. I just want to invite you, let's just bow our heads right now. If you say, that's what I need. I need to know Christ, I need to know the Lord as my Savior, then right where you are, why don't you just bow your heads where you are and place your faith and trust in Christ. Just tell him about it. God invites us to pray and to place our faith and trust in him. Our prayer doesn't save you. Doesn't save me. It's our faith and trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins, for eternal life as a free gift, and heaven as a home. But we can talk to him by praying. And just tell him what's going on in your heart. If you don't know what to pray, just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that you love me and you have a plan for my life. But I know sin stands in the way, and I am a sinner. I know today that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid my sin debt, not his own. He paid my debt in full. And right now I accept what Jesus did for me on the cross when he died for my sin. And I put my trust, my hope, and my faith in you alone for the forgiveness of my sins. And for me to be your child. And for you to be my God and my Father. I give my life to you. Now with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just put your trust and faith in Christ for your salvation. I just want to pray for you a minute. Could you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. If you just prayed, put your trust and faith in Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else. Father, I pray for those that are in the room today that just gave their life to Christ. They place their faith and trust in you for their salvation. And they become one of your family, your child. You're their Father and their God, their King and their Lord. I pray that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit and just let them know that they belong to you and they're part of your family. I pray that you would give them guidance and strength every day as they walk with you. I pray that your word will be a priceless treasure in their heart as they read it and study it, give them understanding. I pray that you'd surround them with other godly believers to disciple them and to show them the way so that in all things, at all times, you're honored and glorified in their life. And I pray in their own family that they'll be able to display the goodness of your grace and the power of your love and the difference that you've made in their lives to the praise of your great name. We give you praise for that. Now, if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you're a father, I just want you to stand where you are. If you're a dad, I want you to stand where you are. Now I want the rest of us just to take a minute to pray for them. You know who's standing near you. Somebody in your own family, maybe your husband or your dad. Maybe your uncle or your grandfather. But I just want you to take a minute and let's just pray for them and pray for God to watch over them and to give them strength every day. So let's pray. God, we bow before you today. And we just thank you for your love for us and thank you for just how good you are to us to give us the privilege of being a father, a dad, or a grandfather. And God, we just bow before you today and we just confess, no matter how physically strong we are, no matter how intellectual we are wholly dependent upon you to be able to live up to what we need to be and how we need to live every single day for our children and our families to know you. And so God, I just pray for these men. I thank you for them. I thank you for their faithfulness and being here today. I pray that you just fill them and give them the strength of your Holy Spirit every single day. I pray you give them the wisdom in your word. In fact, I pray you give them time in your word each and every day, that they would take time and that you would help them to make time to spend time in your word. And as they read it, I pray you'll give them the ability to understand it so that they'll be able to apply it to how they live, what they say, how they discipline, how they instruct, how they lead as an example in their home and family, and how they love those in their family. And God, I pray for the rest of the family as well. I pray that you would just give them opportunity after opportunity to encourage the fathers that are in their family, that the words that they speak and the actions they take will encourage one another, and that you will build these families into a close relationship with one another and with you that could be never be stolen or broken by the power of sin or the ravages of Satan. So God, I just thank you for these men. I thank you for their love for you and their desire to live for you. I pray that every single day, Lord, they would have a heart for you. And Lord, they would live in such a way they would point everyone that they meet to Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.